sometimes in practice this attuning to or recognizing this truth that we don't know what the next moment will bring. Sometimes this is the terrain of our practice, and navigating our relationship to that is part of the path of practice. It's not to be expected that we would be completely comfortable with that recognition and that understanding. There's some very deep ways that our mind clings to wanting to know, wanting to have stability. And so that's a part of our path, to notice those relationships. Recognize them too as something arising in the moment. Sometimes that relationship is more, it's not so much that we're directly experiencing this kind of slippery nature of experience, but that we know that the next moment won't be, you know, that we can't know the next moment. And our reaction or our relationship is more about the idea that we don't know than it is about really meeting the not knowing. Really meeting that unreliable, slippery nature of experience. So that's kind of useful to distinguish or recognize. Is it the idea that the mind is disturbed by? And there are times when the experience, the perceptual, the wisdom has kind of oriented to the perception of the deep, impermanent, just slippery nature of experience. And there, that can be very, very unsettling. And so again, noticing the relationship. Recognizing that too is an arising and a ceasing. Sometimes those very relationships also become just slippery experiences. The mind has to kind of navigate this terrain of not knowing and at some level align with that, be okay with that. The nature of insight, the nature of understanding is such that we can't know what it will be. We can't know how it will be experienced, when it will arise, when that understanding will come. We can't know what we are looking for with insight by its kind of nature. So our mind needs to be willing to be in this terrain of not knowing. The Buddha describes in some like poetry in a way. Nibbana. The very hard to see, the subtle, the profound. There's like 32 similes that he brings in to describe something of Nibbana. And even with that, we have no idea what that is. Open to the truth of freedom, we have to be willing to not know. There were a couple questions I thought I could respond to. There's a little time this morning. One question about mindfulness and wisdom also includes sampajanya in there, but I'm going to set that to aside for now. And how I use the term wisdom, the question, some teachers seem to use wisdom and insight interchangeably. And how do you use it? How do I understand that? Wisdom has a pretty broad definition in the suttas, ranging from three kind of labels for wisdom. Suttamayapanya, the wisdom that comes with hearing. Sutta means to hear. Suttamayapanya, the wisdom that comes with hearing information. So what we take in, reading, hearing talks. Right view at first begins from hearing descriptions of both the nature of the mind, the workings of the mind, and how we can witness experience, how we can observe experience in order to see those truths, see that for ourselves. And that seeing leads to a deeper kind of wisdom. But in the middle, between those two is what's called Chintamayapanya, which is Chintamayapanya is something like the wisdom of thinking or reflecting about. And I take this to be that whole terrain in practice where we're kind of not just thinking about the wisdom that we've heard or read and just kind of regurgitating it in our mind, but it becomes active. It becomes applied to how we are practicing. And this is how this place of wisdom, it's not insight yet, but it's like we're using it as hypothesis and exploring from that perspective. So this too is a form of wisdom. And this kind of place where the wisdom is the learning, what we've heard and learned is kind of being massaged in our experience. That's what really creates the conditions for the insight level of wisdom to arise. So insight and wisdom, or the bhavanamayapanya, the wisdom of cultivation, that's how I think of that third one, is that it is the wisdom of insight, is the result, the growth of wisdom, the deepening, the taking root of that wisdom, That's the wisdom of insight, but wisdom is broader than that. We need the teachings, we need the engagement in order for that insight to arise. This is intimately connected with mindfulness. You know, the very way that we describe being mindful, the Buddhist instructions in the Satipatthana Sutta, we can use just a simple instruction. When breathing in, know that you're breathing in. That instruction contains the perspective of wisdom. This is how to attend to your experience. So the whole way that we teach mindfulness, that we encourage the curiosity of what is this experience as human experience, knowing experience as arising, as just experience arising. That perspective includes the perspective of wisdom. That makes it right mindfulness or wise mindfulness, samasati. And just a tiny bit about clear comprehension. I did say this earlier, but just to bring it back in, the main definition that seems to be in the suttas about clear comprehension, how it's described when somebody asks the Buddha, how does one see with clear comprehension, or how does one engage with clear comprehension? The response is, one understands feelings, thoughts, and perceptions as they arise, persist, and pass away. So again, including the perspective of impermanence, the perspective of wisdom in how we attend to experience. The Satipatthana Sutta brings in clear comprehension as an aspect of wise mindfulness. We abide, observing the body as a body, right there, wisdom. The body as a body, the body in and of itself, not me, not mine, a body, this present moment, abides, observing the body as a body, ardent, fully aware, clearly comprehending the impermanent nature of feelings, thoughts, and perceptions. Mindful. So wisdom and mindfulness work together and create the conditions for us not to just kind of intellectually understand impermanent, unreliable, not self, but to discern it in the moment.